My name is Bianca, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from fear of abandonment, people-pleasing, and finding comfort in men. Please pray with me. Lord, I just pray that you calm my nerves, God, and I just thank you so much for the provision that you have been in my life, and I just pray that tonight, if one person hears my story and accepts your love, I'm grateful, and thank you so much for what you did on the cross. In your son's name we pray. Before Christ, I was a carefree girl living in a world I wasn't sure I belonged in. My grandmother raised me until age 6 and on thereafter. Although my grandmother was great, I always wondered why my parents didn't want me. My mom was a young mother who wasn't ready for the responsibilities, and my dad was in and out of my life depending on how his relationship with my mom was. The times living with my mom were full of verbal, emotional, and physical abuse. We were raised as check-the-box Christians, but with that, I had some sense of right and wrong out of fear that if I did too much bad, God would strike me down. I didn't feel like I really belonged or fit in anywhere until I got into my high school years. All my friends had had sex before high school, and I hadn't. But once that was made known about me, the guys began to show me attention. So I started to find my worth in the words that they said to me. I was attracted to more authoritative men who controlled me. It just gave me a sense of security. I used the fact that I was a virgin to keep guys around with the promises of one day to give them this gift, and it was all manipulation. When I was 15 years old, I dated an older guy who made me feel really protected, loved, and secure. I felt like I was doing the right thing when I decided to sleep with him, losing my virginity. In my mind, it felt like it would bring us closer. But less than a week later, he acted as though I didn't even exist. I'm sure I was supposed to feel devastated, but I didn't. In my home, feelings weren't valid or expressed. You just simply kept going. So this was exactly what I did. I kept going. After this event, I moved high schools, and I just need to let you guys know I never stayed at one school for more than a year or so. I thought it was a clean start, so my sophomore year, I went to a new school, and I met a new guy. He was 5 years older than me and was intrigued by, and I was intrigued by the fact that he was an adult and he can do as he pleased. So we began to date. So at the time, he was 20 and I was 15. He had many other girlfriends who were his age, and he didn't want to be seen with me in public. I only saw him at night when when my mom went out for work. Over the next 3 to 4 years, he controlled every aspect of my life. My friends, where I went, what I wore, and I was okay with it because he gave me such a sense of security. He was nice to me, and he respected the little boundaries that I did have. And he told me that everything that he was doing was only out of love. A trip to prison is what separated us. I was now in high school, and I felt so alone. This is when I had my first encounter with alcohol. It numbed all my pain and made me feel cool. So at 17, while celebrating my birthday, I drank so much that I blacked out. I was at a public event, and my friends didn't want to get in trouble for underage drinking, so they left me on the ground and proceeded to have a great time. I don't remember that night. All I know is that I was told that I had to have my stomach pumped more than once, and I had life-threatening alcohol poisoning. Obviously, I survived, but this made me feel invincible, like I defeated death. So I drank more and more. At 18, I met a guy who gave me everything that I thought I was missing. He had money, he wanted to spend time with me in public, and he told all his friends and his family about me. I finally wasn't hidden from the world. There were signs of anger, which I completely ignored because I thought he was so great, and I spent every moment I could with him. A couple of months into our relationship, I found out that I was pregnant, and he was so happy, and I was so not. Although I love children, I wasn't sure that being a mom was for me, and disappointment set in. My family told me that I wasn't ready to be a mom, and they were disappointed, but they would be there for me. A very close family member told me that I needed to get an abortion. I was upset about it, but it played over and over in my mind. So much so that I looked into abortion, and one day after an argument with my boyfriend, I made my appointment. I heard my daughter's heartbeat for the first time at that time, and I knew I couldn't kill something that had a heartbeat, so I kept her. Every time me and my boyfriend would fight, I always would think, if only I would have gotten that abortion, I wouldn't have to deal with this. On February 19, 2010, I gave birth to Kaylee. I thought she was cute, and I knew I had to provide for her financially, but that was the extent of me being a mom. I didn't know how to love, and I didn't want to learn either. Kaylee was more for show on social media, so I could paint a picture-perfect life for those watching my page, mainly the women that I was being cheated on with. I wanted them to think that I was so happy and more important than them. Psalm 127:3 tells us, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. And I believe that wholeheartedly now, but at the time, you couldn't have told me that. I wouldn't have believed it. As the years went on, I began to idolize Kaylee and her dad and what the world thought we were. Honestly, behind closed doors, it wasn't good at all. Fighting, verbal abuse, bitterness, and anger are the best ways to describe the next 2.5 years of my life. Somehow, I still thought I had it all, until one day, what I thought was the worst thing ever happened. I was just told that I wasn't loved, and I wasn't worth the fight anymore. This was a devastating part of my life, because the agreement to me keeping my daughter and not having the abortion was a promise that we would get married and I would never become a statistic. In July of 2012, I became just that, a single mom, a statistic, something I saw my mom be and I never wanted to be myself. I think this accompanied by past hurts gave birth to my insecurities and my people-pleasing. I will people-please out of fear of being left again. I felt like it was my fault that my daughter had to grow up in a home with one parent. So with no job, we moved back in with my grandmother. These were years filled of anxiety, rage when I would listen in on my daughter's phone calls with her dad, and mountains of bitterness, all hidden by the feeling of being unworthy. When Kaylee was gone with her dad, I would binge drink and abuse prescription pills to sleep and relieve my anxiety. I believed the lies that these things would take my sorrows away. At this point, I would also seek inappropriate relationships with men for comfort. I struggled with knowing that I was wrong and I knew I should change, but I didn't want to. I knew there was a God. I was just so angry with him. I didn't want anything to do with him. Until one evening, my daughter asked me, she was 3 at the time, she said, why do you drink so much beer? And my cover was blown, and I knew I needed to change. I was definitely repeating the steps I saw in my parents growing up, emotionally neglecting Kaylee and myself, drinking just to feel alive, and not instilling values in Kaylee. My heart wanted different, but I just didn't know how to change. So I got a job at an OB/GYN office after being jobless for months. I truly believe that the Lord used this place to show me what his love looked like. There I met my very best friend. Her name's Kim. Our lives look so different. She's married with 4 kids, and I'm a single mom. But from the day I met her, she's tried to understand my struggle, and she's walked through them with me so gracefully. When I think of our relationship, I think of Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. I just knew that the God that I was so disappointed in, was using my job to draw me closer to him. Multiple patients would invite me to Watermark, and I tried once, but I was intimidated by the size. One day while at work, I was asked if I knew Jesus by a lady who I only had 2 encounters with. As awkward as it seemed to me, I felt peace and wanted to engage in a conversation. I was standoffish in the beginning, but felt led to open up. This was taking place as I was doing her vitals on a very busy work day. This interaction with her went on for at least 30 to 45 minutes. And the sweetest thing was, the doctor that I work for let us have our time. She never interrupted, and once I told her what had happened, she was so encouraging and wanted as much healing for me as I wanted for myself. Later, I was invited to Regeneration. Sometime in 2014 was my first night here at Regen. I cried profusely, but I didn't think it was what I needed. I strayed away, but due to that same special patient and her pursuit of me, I eventually kept coming back. I remember looking for excuses. I told her, Highway 75 gives me anxiety, and her response was, well, I'll pick you up and we can talk the whole way. My next excuse was, well, I live too far, and I don't have time to pick Kaylee up and come back. Her response was, I'll go get her. And one night, I literally had enough gas to get home from work, so I was so sure that this was a great way to get out of me going to Regen. Nope. She talked me into going, and she gave me gas to go home. And I was like, okay, God, I'll stay. And I finally committed to going through the steps. Contrary to most, I didn't want to leave groundwork. That special friend was my groundwork leader, and I was able to be fully known by her. She explained the gospel, and I understood that there was no condemnation in Christ because he has paid for all my sins on the cross. She told me how loved I was by Christ and that there was nothing more that I needed to do for him to love me. So I received Christ's free gift of grace that day, and I wanted to profess my love for Jesus. So I got baptized on June 23rd, 2014, with my friend in the water with me and Kaylee close by cheering me on. When I was placed in a step group, I immediately looked for differences so I could run. I stayed and stuck it out, but often would make excuses as to why I didn't want to come. This was the first time the gospel was actually modeled to me. Not only that, but the ladies in my group were like the mothers and the friends that I've always wanted. They fully knew me and loved me despite of my flaws and my shortcomings. They also knew my struggle with alcohol, and when Kaylee was gone, they would check in and hold me accountable, even going as far as to offering me a place to stay when Kaylee was gone, and I had never experienced love like this. Shortly after recovery, I started to believe Romans 8:37 through 39. It says, "In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I finally started to find hope in the Lord. He showed me a new hope that I thought was never possible. When I finished Regen, I worried that if I stopped coming, that I would lose my relationship with God. I found my hope in Mondays at Regen more than Christ alone. So I thought I needed to lead a group to stay. Still severely broken, I was lovingly told that I wasn't ready. Looking back now, that was so true. I needed to build my personal relationship with the Lord. So I continued to attend Regen, and I sat in the groundwork group for about 4 to 5 months to encourage the other women while I continued to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and I've never left. Life now is much different. My circumstances haven't changed, but God created in me a pure heart, like it says in Psalm 51:10. Today, I lead a group of great women through the steps with my friend Kate. These women are so faithful, so loving, and so on fire for the Lord. I often think in my mind, what did I do to get so blessed to get such a perfect group? Kate, my co-leader, she was also my recovery partner when I went through Regen, and I believed the lie that Kate didn't need recovery. I was thinking, she's recovering from small things like control and anxiety while I'm addicted to drugs and alcohol. This was only a tool that Satan used to stop me from coming to recovery, as now Kate is one of my best friends. Kate, your humble and calm nature is something I'm so grateful for. The way you love others and your husband is the epitome of Christ's love for us. Thank you for challenging me and standing with me in the roughest times. I love you. I can lie and say I don't struggle. I totally still struggle with everything I listed above. The only difference is I don't want a life without Christ. He is at my core. I must depend on him alone to give me the strength to turn from my idols. In times of despair, I'm more than confident that he is there. I'm still a single mom. God has used my relationship with Kaylee to magnify the relationship that he desires with me. As much as I love, forgive, and cherish Kaylee, I know a million times over he loves, forgives, and cherishes me. And this eases an abandoned girl's heart. Of course, I still sin and I fall short, but I quickly confess and repent instead of dwelling in guilt and shame. Kaylee's father is in her life. I still co-parent with him, but it's not all bad. I'm able to see the Jesus in it. I'm now able to see that through it all, Jesus' words are true. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Some think that my past was horrific, but I'm able to see the beauty in it. He was able to turn ashes into beauty. I have such a beautiful, Christ-centered relationship with my daughter. She loves the Lord so much. And I have the best family of believers who walk alongside me daily And we are able to point each other to Christ in such delightful ways. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10, Paul says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, and in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" These are the verses that I go to when I'm feeling weak. I'm quickly reminded that in my weakness, he will never leave me. And not all things, he will teach me and deepen our relationship. This is the type of pursuit that I've always longed for. He chose to pursue me, not because of me, but because of him. How sweet and kind and loving is it of him not to leave us where we once were? I've heard it said here so many times, God is going to authenticate the message and the messenger. My story now is that I'm a single mommy and I'm raising a 7-year-old daughter, and that's a story that I embrace. If I could encourage you with one thing, it would be that the Lord sees you and he loves you and he's here for you. Seek him and he will make himself known to you. And I pray that you find rest in that. My name is Bianca and I'm recovering from fear of abandonment, people pleasing, and finding comfort in men. And I give Jesus all the glory for what he has done in my life.